So for those who are from Precious Blood, some of the things that I said, you might have heard some of it when I was preaching about Fatima. And for those who are not from Precious Blood, it will be brand new for you. We are going to have a series of talk about modern saints. So in this month and next month, we will talk about different modern saints of the 20th century, starting with the children of Fatima. But also, I think around November, we will start a series of talk that will be based on a spiritual classic called The Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales. So that will be, we will go through a spiritual classic starting November. So right now, it will be a series of talks that will be on some modern saints. So this time, we will talk about Francisco and Jacinta. Next time we talk about Lucia and Blessed Alexandria. And so I think, especially next time, when we talk about next time, those who are going on pilgrimage next year, you really want to come, because it will be a good preparation for next year pilgrimage, because we will, on the sixth day of our pilgrimage, we will visit especially the tomb of Blessed Alexandria, but also the two convents that Lucia had important visions about First Saturday devotion, and also about the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart. And also today, if time permits, I will also share with you a couple of books that I read during the summertime. Again, if you are from Precious Blood and you belong to some other group like CWL, Prep Teachers, or stuff like that, you will hear the same thing again, but no, who cares? Okay, so repetition is the mother of learning, right? So you learn by repeating. So anyhow, when I prepared the sermons last Lent, to preach about Fatima, and also on my article that I've written for the BC Catholic during the summertime, and also still ongoing, will be the another one coming up next week. Many of my information actually is taken from this thick book. Thick, right? Heavy. So this book is Documents on Fatima. So that's tell you what is that about. You know, so this is the most comprehensive book on Fatima. You got a lot of picture, but also lots of documents from the beginning in the year 1917 until 1951. But also later on, you also have the third secret of Fatima being revealed in the year 2000. So it's a lot of document, letters, but of the document, four of them will be really significant. And they are the memoir of Sister Lucia. Because her cousin, when they opened the tomb of Little Jacinta, they found that her body was incorrupt. And so the bishop sent a letter. I think somebody sent a picture to Lucia, and Lucia made some statement about the virtue of Jacinta. And so the bishop commanded her, because of that, to write out the thing that she remembered about Jacinta. And up to that time. The secret of Fatima was unknown to anybody, because the children were not allowed to say that. But because heaven, you know, God gave permission to Lucia to reveal the first two secrets. Because one thing is that you cannot write about Jacinta without revealing the secret, basically. Because the spiritual life of Jacinta was really influenced by the three parts of the secret. You know, we talk about the secret about hell, about Immaculate Heart, second secret, and second about the Holy Father being shot, you know. So those three important elements, hell or conversion of sinners actually, Immaculate Heart and the Holy Father, they are really important in the life of Jacinta. So when Lucia wrote something about Jacinta, she basically also, now at that time, she also made known the first two parts of the secret. And then also, so the bishop asked for more. Because now, and then the second memo, she actually wrote about the apparition of the angel in the year 1916. So you know, of the prayer here, two of the prayer are actually from the angel. Of the four here, two of them are from the angel. Because you didn't remember the exact date of the angel operation, so I put down spring 1916 and fall 1916, because she didn't remember when was the angel appeared, the exact date. She only knew it was springtime or during the... There's three operations, spring, summer, and fall. And so it's in, and then in the spring and the fall operation, the angel taught them prayer. So the second memo, was even more astonishing, because now you've got more information, but the angel actually appeared to the children.
And it was unknown before.
And so eventually the bishop asked her to write down the third one. The third one, I think, is more on. Either the third or the fourth one is really on Francisco. The third one again is also on Jacinta. It's a lot of information on Jacinta. And then basically, because now you got more information, the bishop basically commanded her write down anything further that she could remember about Jacinta. Because she knew there must be more. You know, the bishop knew there must be more stuff than Lucia just kept up to herself. So tell me further, anything that you remember about Jacinta. So again, she wrote the third one, mainly about anything that she remembered about Jacinta. And then the bishop was astonished. Wow! Okay, the fourth one, you know, now you write down every single thing that you remember about Francisco. Even when you were having fun, you were singing some other secular song, you write down what you were singing.
So she wrote down she would write that down too. It's almost like, you know, you want to investigate some of the holy person here. And then, okay, write down what he's singing karaoke, you know, or what she's singing. It's a different song, even write that down like this, because the bishop wants details like about Francisco. So that's why the fourth one is a lot of information about Francisco.
So we talk about Francisco first, because he died first. You know, he died in the year 1919 on April 4th. You know, Jacinta died the next year, February the 20th in 1920. So Francisco, he loved to pray. You know, think about Our Lady message in Fatima. She asked her to do two things mainly, pray and sacrifice. And Francisco seemed to focus more on praying, and Jacinta more on sacrifice. And then also, but prayer and sacrifice for two intentions. One is for reparation for sins, and the other one is for the conversion of sinners. And Francisco seems to focus on reparation of sins, and Jacinta focus a bit more on the conversion of sinners. So that's Francisco and Jacinta. Now Francisco, he loved to pray. You know, he would be constantly praying the rosary. And because Our Lady said, remember that in the first operation of Our Lady, you know, when Lucia asked, you know, will I go to heaven? He said, yes, you will. Jacinta, yes, she will. And Francisco, yes, he will, but he must first pray many rosary. So Francisco praying many, many rosary. And he loved to be by himself. And then meditating. So meditation might be a word too hard for the two or too difficult for the children. So he was thinking that I'm thinking of our Lord, you know, thinking about Jesus. So he would be there to be thinking about God, meditating. You know, think about, you know, later on in the 1920s, we'll talk about that later, next meeting, when Our Lady and Jesus, baby Jesus, appeared to Lucia to demand, to ask for the first Saturday devotion. One of the first Saturday devotion that people do is to spend 15 minutes meditation on the 15 mysteries of the rosary. So Our Lady also, in the future, would ask for meditation as part of the reparation, you know. And think about mortal meditation,
Of course, I will get into more details about meditation when we get into the classic Introduction to Developed Life. But thinking about meditation, Saint Teresa of Avila, she said that if you spend 15 minutes every day to do mental prayer, you know, and quiet for mental prayer is in the form of meditation, she guarantee you will be saved. Because her theory is, if you really have mental prayer, you cannot persist in your sin and keep on praying. You either have to give up praying or give up your sin. But if you can keep on praying, that means eventually you will give up sin. So she said that if you do 15 minutes mental prayer every day, she said you will be saved. That's Teresa of Avila. Anyhow, Blessed Francisco, he loved to be alone and thinking about Jesus. And sometimes Lucia asked Francisco, why didn't you come and pray with Jacinta and me? And he would say, I would rather pray alone to think and to console our Lord. He's so sad. And then, you know, I mentioned about that he focused more on reparation, right? And for him, reparation, he used another word. He used the word to console Jesus. So one time Lucia asked Francisco, which do you like better, to console our Lord or to convert sinners so that no more souls go to hell? And he said, I would rather console our Lord. Didn't you take notice of how sad Our Lady was last month when she said not to offend our Lord because he was much offended already? I want to console our Lord first and then convert the sinners so that they won't offend him anymore. So from this sentence, you know that the conversation took place in November 1917. Because, you know, last month when Our Lady said, do not offend the Lord our God anymore, it was on the October 13th apparition. And Our Lady really sad expression. And that sadness of Our Lady have a deep impression on the children, you know, and Lucia for the rest of her life, she would not forget about the sad expression of Our Lady when she said, do not offend the Lord our God anymore, for he's already deeply offended. The children love to call Jesus in the Holy Eucharist the hidden Jesus. And so Francisco would love to spend time alone before the tabernacle. When Lucia was on the way to school, you know, remember, shepherds don't have to study, but Our Lady did ask Lucia that she learn how to read and write. So when Lucia was on the way to school, you know, when she went to school, Francisco would told him, you know, look, you go to school. I will stay here in church near the hidden Jesus. It isn't worth the trouble for me to learn to read. Shortly, I'm going to heaven. When you came back from school, call me. So, you know, it's not skipping school, so Rachel, don't think it's not original to skip school. You know, a shepherd, they don't have to, usually a shepherd doesn't have to read and write. But Lucia, she have to read and write because eventually she become a nun, right? So, and then a teaching nun even, the sister of St. Dorothy. But Francisco and Jacinta, because they will die soon, so they don't care much about going to school because they will be shepherds all their life anyway. So he will be hiding before the tabernacle for hours until Lucia came back from school and to meet Francisco. Now one day when Lucia arrived at the home of Francisco, you know, she said goodbye to a group of schoolmates who used to come with her. So, and then she went to visit Francisco and Jacinta, his sister. And then when he heard the noise, he asked, did you come with that crowd? You know, and she said, yes, I did. And then Francisco said, do not walk with them because you can learn to commit sins. At the end of your classes, go and stay for a while near the hidden Jesus, and afterwards come alone to see me. And then when he was sick, you know, he was quite cheerful. And then he was quite cheerful because he also have that idea to offer up his suffering to Jesus, you know, when he was sick. So one day when Lucia asked him, "Do you suffer much, Francisco?" And then he said, "Quite a bit, but it doesn't matter. I suffer to console our Lord, and shortly I shall go to heaven." And then Lucia said, "When you are there, don't forget to implore Our Lady to take me there soon." And then Francisco said, "I won't implore that. You know very well that she doesn't want you there yet." Because, you know, Our Lady said you have to stay on earth, right, Lucia? But Francisco and Jacinta will go to heaven soon. One day, you know, some days before he died, he said, "Look, I'm very sick. I'm going to heaven soon." And then Lucia said, "Then listen, while you are there, don't forget to pray much for sinners, for the Holy Father, for me and for Jacinta." And Francisco said, "Yes, I will, but look, ask Jacinta these things instead. I'm afraid I will forget them when I see our Lord. First, I want to console him." And then his another sister, Teresa, came to Lucia and said, "Come quickly. Francisco is very sick and says he wants to tell you something." So she hastes to the house, rushed to the house, and then Francisco asked the mother and the brother to leave the room because he wants to tell Lucia a secret. So when they went, he told Lucia, "The secret is that I'm going to confess so that I may receive Holy Communion and then die. I want you to tell me if you have seen me commit any sins, and go and ask Jacinta if she has seen me commit any." So then she started to think about the sin of Francisco. So Lucia said, "You know, sometimes you disobey your mother." And then she also said, "You know, when she told you to stay home, and you escaped to be with me and to hide yourself." And Francisco said, "That is true, I did. Now go and ask Jacinta, will she remember anything else?" So Lucia went to Jacinta, and then after thinking for a while, he answered, "Tell him that before Our Lady appeared to us, you know, he stole a coin from his father to buy the mouth organ." And then also, when the boy's throwing stone, and the one boy's again another group of boys, he threw some stone too. And then when Lucia told him that, he answered, "I already confessed those, but I will confess them again. Perhaps it is because of these sins I committed that our Lord is so sad. But even if I don't die, I will never do them again. Now I'm sorry." And so putting his hands together, he said that prayer, the Fatima prayer that we say at the end of each decade of the Rosary, "O my Jesus." And then he asked, "Please ask our Lord to pardon me my sins." And Lucia said, "I will, don't worry. If the Lord hadn't forgiven you, Our Lady would not have told Jacinta some days ago that she was going soon to take you to heaven. Now I'm going to Mass, and there I will pray to the hidden Jesus for you." Now, so our information was that a few days earlier, Our Lady actually appeared to Francisco and Jacinta when they were in the room. And Our Lady said that, you know, she would take Francisco to heaven. But she also asked Jacinta, you know, did she want to convert more sinners? And Jacinta said yes. And so Our Lady said that she would go to a hospital, and there she would suffer a lot. And she would suffer for the conversion of sinners and in reparation for the offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And then she also was told that she would be quite alone in the hospital because it was in Lisbon. And then Jacinta was, you know, a bit uncertain. She was thinking maybe hospital is a dark place, you know, so she was a bit scared. But that her call to offer suffering, sacrifice, to be in the hospital by herself for the conversion of sinners. But anyhow, back to Francisco. Lucia went to the church to pray for Francisco. And then but Francisco also asked, you know, "Ask Jesus to have Reverend Pastor to give me Holy Communion." And then Lucia said, "Yeah, yes." So when Lucia returned from the church, you know, Jacinta had got up and sitting at the edge of her brother's bed. As soon as Francisco saw Lucia, he asked her, "Did you ask the hidden Jesus to have Reverend Pastor give me Holy Communion?" And she said, "I did." And then Francisco said, "When I'm in heaven, I will pray for you." And then Lucia said, "Will you? The other day you said you would not." And then Francisco said, "This was to take you to heaven soon. But if you wish, I will pray. And then Our Lady will do as she wishes." And she said, "I do wish that you pray." And so the next day, when she went to work and school, but when she returned in the evening, the same day, he was radiant with joy because he made his confession. And then the pastor promised to bring him communion the next day. So the next day, after receiving communion, he said to Jacinta, "Today I'm happier than you, for I have within my breast the hidden Jesus. I'm going to heaven, but there I will pray a great deal to our Lord and our Lady, that they may take you there soon." And so, they, you know, the two, Lucia and Jacinta, they stay almost all day by his bed. And he was too sick to pray, and so they prayed the rosary for him. And then afterward, he said, "Certainly in heaven, I'm going to miss you very much. Would that Our Lady take you also very soon?" And then Lucia said, "You will not. Fancy that. You at the feet of our Lord and our Lady, who are so good." And then he said, "That's right. Perhaps I will not remember." And then Lucia wrote, and now I add, probably he didn't. Patience. You know, because he was still on earth by that time of day. You know, that's in the, I think that in the, maybe in the 40s already, you know, so patient. And so, and then later on that night, you know, Lucia bid farewell to Francisco. "Goodbye, Francisco. If you go to heaven tonight, don't forget me there. Do you hear?" And then he said, "I won't forget you. No, don't worry." And so at that time, you know, the children were told to go home. And then the next day, you know, Francisco, you know, before Lucia left, he said, you know, "Goodbye, Francisco. Till heaven. Goodbye. Till heaven." And then the next day, you know, he died on the next day, on April 4th, 1919. Now, so that Francisco, and then Jacinta, as mentioned, that a few days before Francisco died, Our Lady predicted that she would be in a hospital to suffer for the conversion of sinners. And so she went to a hospital in July 1919, so only 3 months after the death of Francisco. You know, they both died of the Spanish flu. Huh? So Jacinta went to the hospital in July 1919. And when her mother went to visit her and asked her if she wanted something, she replied she would like to see Lucia. So it was quite a big sacrifice. So after in the hospital, she also returned home, you know, in the end of August. And then she also suffered, but she offered all her suffering of sickness for the conversion of sinner. And then once again, Our Lady visited Jacinta to announce her new crosses and sacrifices. Jacinta told Lucia the following. She said, "She told me I shall go to Lisbon to another hospital. I shall not see you nor my parents again. When I have suffered a great deal, I shall die alone. But I mustn't be afraid, because she will come to take me to heaven." And so, you know, she embraced Lucia and say, "I shall never see you again. You won't come to see me. Oh, pray much for me, for I shall die all alone." And so even she wasn't in Lisbon already, but she suffered greatly already. And she would hug Lucia and start crying, "I shall never see you again, nor my mother, nor my brothers, nor my father. I shall never see anyone again. and then I shall die alone. And Lucia told Jacinta, don't think about that. Let me, and then, but Jacinta actually says something like this. Let me think about it. The more I think, the more I suffer. I want to suffer for love of our Lord and for sinners. What does it matter after all? Our Lady is coming to take me to heaven. And so once in a while, she kissed the crucifix, hugged it, and said, Oh Jesus, I love you, and I want to suffer a great deal for the love of thee. Another time she said, Oh Jesus, now you can convert many sinners, because this sacrifice is such a big one. And sometimes she asked Lucia, Am I going to die without receiving the hidden Jesus? If only Our Lady would bring him to me when she comes to take me to heaven. So once Lucia asked Jacinta, What will you do in heaven? And she said, I shall love Jesus very much and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I shall pray a great deal for you, for sinners, for the Holy Father, for my parents, brothers, and for all who have asked me to pray for them. And so basically, you know, before she left for Lisbon, her last word to Lucia, you know, she heard Lucia for a long time crying, and she said, you know, we shall never meet again. Pray for me a lot until I go to heaven, and afterwards I will pray a lot for you. Never tell anybody the secret, even if they kill you. Love Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary a great deal, and make many sacrifices for sinners. Now, actually, I talk about the last, basically the last, before she left for Lisbon, the last sickness of Jacinta. But I forgot about, actually, that's from the first memoir of Lucia. But actually, in the third memoir, which when she was ordered by the bishop to write down whatever she remembered about Jacinta, she wrote down about, you know, what shaped the spiritual life of Jacinta was the three part of the secret of Fatima in July 13. Remember, it's about the vision of hell, about Immaculate Heart, and also about prayer for the Holy Father. So I just want to go back time again about before her last sickness, that what happened to her about those three part of the secret. Now, you know that, you know, the vision of hell did have a deep impression on all three children, but particularly Jacinta. And Jacinta, oftentimes, she would be sitting meditating on the ground or on some stone, and then began to exclaim, Hell, hell, how sorry I am for the soul that are going to hell. And people burn there alive like wood in fire. And then she would be shaking and knelt down on the ground, join her hands, and said the prayer that we said at the end of the rosary, Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins. And oftentimes, you know, sometimes she would stay for a long time on her knees, repeat the same prayer. And now and then she would be like she was waking up and call her brother and Lucia. And she would say something like this, Francisco, Francisco, are you praying with me? We need to pray a great deal to save souls from hell. So many are going there, so many. And at times she asked, Why doesn't Our Lady show hell to sinners? If they saw it, they would never sin again and would not have to go there. You must tell that lady to show hell to all those people. And then some days later, you know, she remembered. And then she asked Lucia, Why didn't you tell Our Lady to show hell to those people? And Lucia said, I forgot. And Jacinta said, I didn't remember either. And then she would ask, What sins are committed by those people to make them go to hell? And Lucia said, I don't know. Perhaps not going to Mass on Sunday, stealing, saying wicked words, cursing, swearing. And Jacinta said, And only for one word they can go to hell? And then Lucia said, Well, it is a sin. And then Jacinta said, What would it cost them to keep quiet and go to Mass? I'm sorry for sinners. Oh, if I could only let them see hell. And then another time, she sometimes heard Lucia and said, I'm going to heaven, but you have to stay here. If Our Lady lets you, tell everybody what hell is like, so that they can escape it by not committing sins. And oftentimes, thinking for a while, she would say, So many falling into hell, so many in hell. And Lucia assured her, she said, don't be afraid, you are going to heaven. And Jacinta said, yes, I'm going there, but I also want everyone to go there. And sometimes to modify herself, she would not eat. And then when Lucia asked her to eat, she said, you know, she said to Jacinta, Jacinta, come on, eat now. But Jacinta would say, no, I'm offering this sacrifice for sinners who eat too much. And then when she was sick, she went to Mass anyway during the weekday. And then Lucia said, Jacinta, don't, you are not able, and it's not Sunday today. But Jacinta would say, it doesn't matter, I will go for sinners who don't go even on Sundays. So if she happened to hear any loud cursing, she covered her face with her hands and said, oh my God, these people don't realize this kind of talk might send them to hell. Forgive them, Jesus, and convert them. They certainly don't know they are offending God. Oh, what a pity. Jesus, I pray for them. And then she repeat the prayer, oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins. So that's give you an idea, you know, the vision of hell really a big influence on little Jacinta. And then the second part of the secret was about Immaculate Hearts of Mary, about the Immaculate Hearts of Mary. And, you know, she loved the Immaculate Heart. And because, you know, Our Lady said in June that because Lucia had to stay on earth, right, to spread devotion to the Immaculate Heart. And then she said to Lucia, you know, my Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the road to lead you to God. So Jacinta would say to Lucia, that lady said that her Immaculate Heart was your refuge and the road which lead you to God. Aren't you thrilled? Her heart is so good and I love it. And so, because also in July, Our Lady already predicted that she would come back again and ask for two things, right? First Saturday and also consecration of Russia. And so she heard about First Saturday communion of reparation. Because Jacinta, even though she received the precious blood from the angel, but she was not officially admitted to First Communion. So she was too young still. And so she said, I'm so sorry not able to go to Holy Communion in reparation for sins committed against the Immaculate Hearts of Mary. And one time, Lucia mentioned from a litany, a list of a short prayer that a priest suggests to them. Jacinta chose one particular prayer. It's Sweet Heart of Mary, be my salvation. That's a favorite prayer of little Jacinta. Sweet Heart of Mary, be my salvation. And then sometimes she would be so naturally and just say, I love the Immaculate Heart of Mary deeply. It is the heart of our beloved Mother in Heaven. Don't you love to repeat Sweet Heart of Mary, Immaculate Heart of Mary? I love to say that. I love to. And sometimes she would pick up some flowers and then on the field and then make up a tune singing herself. And she would sing something like this. Sweet Heart of Mary, be my salvation. Immaculate Heart of Mary, convert sinners, save souls from hell. So that's her devotion to the Immaculate Heart. And then about the Holy Father, you know, one time during this afternoon siesta, you know, in Europe, usually it's a snack time, you know, go to have a nap. And then she went to Lucia and she said, didn't you see the Holy Father? Lucia said, no. And then Jacinta said, I can't say how, but I saw the Holy Father in a very large house, kneeling before a table with his face in his hands. He was crying. Many people were in front of the house. Some were throwing stones, while others were cursing him and using foul language. Poor Holy Father, we need to pray a lot for him. You know, when I'm thinking about, you know, in the last number of years, when I saw how the media treat Pope Benedict, I remember this vision of Jacinta. And then also, the other time, Jacinta had a vision, you know, she said to Lucia, don't you see many highways, so many roads and fields full of dead people trickling blood? so many people weeping with hunger, for they have nothing to eat. And the Holy Father praying in the church before the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and many people praying with him. And then a few days later, she asked, "Can I say that I saw the Holy Father and all those people?" Lucia said, "No. Don't you see that it is part of the secret? That way it will be discovered immediately." And he said, "All right, I won't say anything then." Of course, you know that that's the third secret that being revealed in the year 2000. Now, one thing is that before she died, when she was in Lisbon, she was first put into an orphanage, and then later on she was in the hospital where she died. And my hope is that we can visit those two places when we are in Lisbon next year. I think, and then in the orphanage, there was a nun who looked after her, and Jacinta called her my godmother. And that nun, she recorded many things that said by Jacinta, because it was quite obvious that Our Lady actually visited Jacinta while she was in Lisbon. And so, you know, because she wanted to know what sin lead people to hell, and at the end, Jacinta herself said the sin that lead most people to hell is the sin of the flesh, so sins of impurity. And then she also mentioned that Our Lady said that, you know, we have to set aside luxury, you know, not to be always materialistic. And then she also mentioned something like that, you know, people have to repent of sin, do penance, and God wants the Immaculate Heart to be honored together with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But also, she also said something, you know, the other thing that she said, we are not quite sure, you know, some of them may be from Our Lady, maybe from God's inspiration, but also it can be her own thinking. But she said something like this, she said about, you know, that in the future, the fashion will be really offensive to God. And she said the church have no fashion. Jesus is always the same. So, you know, think about a young girl like that, I think it's something beyond her wisdom. Say something like that. And she also said that, you know, woman is worse than man in modesty, you know. So she is a girl herself, you know. So to say something like that would be beyond her wisdom too. And then she also mentioned like also about priests and religious, you know, she said about, you know, priests must be really pure and also only concerned about things about God and the church. And then she mentioned about, you know, disobedient religious is really displeasing. And she talked about civil leaders, if they leave the church in peace, they will have blessing from God. And then she also mentioned war is a punishment for sin. So she mentioned many, many things that are really prophetic and also many things that way beyond the wisdom of her age. So it's really, really special. So because when she died, she was 10 years old. You know, Jacinta was 10 years old. Because in the thing about when they saw Our Lady, Lucia was 10, Francisco 9, and Jacinta 7. So when Francisco died, you know, he would be around 10 or 11 years old. And then when Jacinta died, she would be around 10 years old. Maybe not yet 10, you know, because she died early in the year, in February the 20th. So when she died, she actually, Our Lady also predicted to her the exact hour that she died. You know, it's February the 20th at 10:30 p.m. And because Our Lady did predict that she would die all by herself, and so the priest did came to hear her confession on February the 19th. But on February 20th, actually. But when Jacinta asked for Holy Communion, because the priest judged she was not going to die that soon, he said he will come back tomorrow. But actually, she died that night all by herself. So it was on February the 20th at 10:30, as she herself predicted. She sent that message to Lucia about the exact time that she was going to die. And so, as you know, that when they exhumed the body of Francisco, it was normal, it was just bones. But when they exhumed the body of Jacinta and they opened the face was incorrupt. So they took a picture of that incorrupt body and then sent a picture to Lucia. And because of that, as I mentioned, because of that picture that Lucia mentioned something about the virtue of Jacinta, and so that's what make so here when they opened the tomb, here is the face of Jacinta. So when they took a picture, they sent it to Lucia, and it's because of that that lead to writing the memoirs of the first one, and then the second one, and then the third, and then the fourth one. Because the bishop always knew that just Lucia wanted to put things inside her heart. But also, she got a really remarkable memory to remember everything quite well. And so when the bishop asked her to write more and more and more, she was able to write more and more and more and remember many, many things. You know, because it seems to be, it's that way. In the priest, you know, here is the priest who compiled all those documents and also, of course, translate into English, is also the priest who wrote the book Fatima is Forever. And that's another book that is a really good book on Fatima. What made him wrote that book was the death of the Pope who consecrated Russia, John Paul II, mm-hmm. and also the death of Lucia in the same year, in 2005. Mm-hmm. And so he wrote that book. And Father Robert Foss is now dead. Father Robert Foss who worked on those two books. And so he had an apostolic called the Fatima Family Apostolate. So in their website, they do a lot of good books on Fatima, on Our Lady, but also on catechetical. You know, like they have a catechism of church history, a catechism of Mary, and also some catechism book for high school students that can be used. And so it's a really good website that he founded. And he also found a magazine, the Immaculate Heart Messenger. And I will tell you next time how this magazine actually contributed for Lucia to spread the message to the world about the consecration of Russia. Okay, how much time have I used already?
42 minutes.
I have a question.
Yeah? Oh, the body now, so hopefully when we go next year, we will be visit, they are now all in the Basilica of the Rosary in the main church in Fatima.
In that
case? No, not in that case. You cannot see. It's on the main altar. On the left hand side, mm-hmm. one side, there is the Jacinta. And then now it's Lucia, because they transferred her body from the Carmelite convent to Fatima Church. On the other side, that is Francisco. So originally it's Francisco one side, Jacinta one side, but because they transferred the body of Lucia, so now it's also Lucia's body is beside Jacinta. So that's where they are all buried now. Yeah. So I think Jacinta originally is buried in Lisbon. You know, because she died there. Yeah. And then Francisco would be buried in the, because he died in Fatima, so it would be buried across the church. Across the church is a cemetery, so it is there. So next year also we will go into the cemetery, St. Anthony Church, haha, St. Anthony. So it's the parish is St. Anthony Church, and so right across the church is the cemetery of the parish. And then the old tomb of Francisco, I think maybe Jacinta was transferred to that cemetery and then from there transferred to the Basilica. I'm not quite sure, but I think they did transfer the body of Jacinta somehow, more than once possible. So I just want to share with you a couple of books that I read during the summertime. And if you buy books from Amazon.ca, you know, $25, you got a free shipment. One book is Will Many Be Saved? You know, I mentioned that at Mass, you know, by Ralph Martin. And then the other one is Evangelical Catholicism, which is from George Weigel. Mm-hmm. And those two books are really good. The first one is basically it's about from the early church until recent time, the constant teaching of the church fathers of the saints was that at the end, those who are saved is the minority. They always believe that, you know, those who are saved are the small number. And so more people go to hell than they go to heaven. And since so that's have been the constant teaching of the saints, of the church fathers, of the doctors of the church. But recent year, a lot of Catholics, even some theologians, they believe that, you know, most of the people go to heaven, only a small amount go to hell. It seems to be the common belief. But that is because people misquote the Vatican II document, Lumen Gentium. It's a misquote of that document. Now, basically, that document talking about, you know, people who are not in the church through no fault of their own, God could save them. You know, so, and we all know from tradition teaching that is called baptism of desire. Okay? And so if somebody who is not in the church but God given that desire to get baptized, I can save them. Or some people who even doesn't know baptism but God can still give them the grace to love God above all and to do what and to want to do whatever necessary for salvation, make a perfect act of contrition, that can save them too. But the thing is, just you are not in the church through no fault of your own doesn't mean that automatically guarantee you will be saved. That's not what the church teaches. And also, how many people actually receive that grace of baptism of desire? Is that a lot or really few? We don't know, but it can be really few. And the document said, okay, God can save people who are through no fault of their own not in the church. That is the first part of the document, that paragraph. But the second part points out, but in reality, many people don't get it because of passion, because of sin, because of this and that. Many people don't actually get it. And that's why it's so important to evangelize so that people through the word and the sacrament can be able to receive the grace of God. So people only quote the first part of the document, but not the second part. And so that actually makes something really bad happen in the church, that people supposed to be have the missionary seal now lack it, because they start saying, oh, doesn't need to evangelize because people will be saved anyway. And then you even have people say that, you know, the church is to having to have a foretaste of heaven. But To just give people a foretaste of heaven is not what we are doing. We are mainly doing to help people get to heaven, you know, for the salvation of souls. So I just want to read you that paragraph that has been misquoted, you know. Okay, so it's the first part, as I mentioned, is the part that people usually quote. Those also can attain to salvation who through no fault of their own do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, yet sincerely seek God and moved by grace, strive by their deeds to do his will, as it is known to them through the dictates of conscience. Nor does divine providence deny the help necessary for salvation to those who without blame on their part have not yet arrived at an explicit knowledge of God and with his grace strive to live a good life. Whatever good or truth is found amongst them is looked upon by the church as a preparation for the gospel. She knows that it is given by him who enlightens all men so that they may finally have life. So that's the part they quote. But they forget, coming up, the next sentence is point out, but often men deceived by the evil one have become vain in their reasonings and have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, serving the creature rather than the Creator. Or some there are who, living and dying in this world without God, are exposed to final despair. And so after talking about the reality that many people don't get the grace, and then you talk about the final sentence of that paragraph is the importance of missionary work. Wherefore, to promote the glory of God and procure the salvation of all of these, and mindful of the command of the Lord, preach the gospel to every creature. The church fosters the mission with care and attention. So the original intention of the Council Father is to encourage mission. You know, talking about, you know, people outside the church, a bit hard to get the grace, so we need to work hard for people to achieve salvation. But, you know, the opposite happened in the church in the last couple of decades, because people misquote, and some theologian, they make some theory that sounds like everybody will automatically go to heaven. And then people were lazy, not doing the work of evangelization. And so this book is basically telling us, you know, it's so important that we don't slack off, you know. It's really, really important that we actually, you know, work really hard, you know, like the children of Fatima, they do their utmost to work for the salvation of souls, you know, by their prayer and sacrifice. And we should do likewise, and also in our environment, to do our best to help people to achieve eternal salvation by our prayer, sacrifice, but also by our work of evangelization. So that's one book. And this book, you know, if you read that, it's readable. Some of them may be a bit scholarly, because he actually also point out the other theologians who were talking about everybody will be saved, you know, those kind of theory, and try to tear them into pieces, bit by bit. So that's why it's a little bit of theological mental exercise. You will like it, you know, theological mental exercise. And then the other one, this one is more easy reading. George Weigel, he wrote a beautiful biography of John Paul II, Witness to Hope. And in this book, you can see the current state of the church really clearly. You know, Pope Leo XIII already started somehow a reform in the church, you know, because, you know, he pointed out that there are need of reform in the church, because to face the challenge, after the Reformation, the church mainly is really catechetical and devotional, which is good. But to face the challenge, you know, something more needed. So, you know, Pope Leo XIII already promoting, you know, the biblical study, you know, the liturgical study, to help actually to lay the groundwork for reform. And then in the 20th century, you got really great mind theologians that really laid the groundwork for Vatican II. But after Vatican II, praying doesn't happen as it ought to be. Because, you know, many people, they basically go into different area, you know, intellectual life, what happened, you know, also what happened in religious life, in the priestly life, in the lay vocation, what had been done wrong, or what had been done well, and what needs to be done in the future. They even mentioned about the liturgical life, about music. Music. We have two choir directors here. And actually, I think what I would do is that I would also photocopy the part of the music, picking music, you know, talking about the choice of music too. But anyhow, there's a lot of information there about the church life. But in the around the page 100, it's mentioned about two kind of reactions that in the church today. One reaction would be that, you know, people always just want to go back to the past. You know, he mentioned, you know, some people they want to use the traditional Latin Mass, for example. Mm-hmm. They would want to have the church continue to be devotional and catechetical only, but not to have any new thing. You know, he mentioned that, you know, that you know, the thing they want is good, but might not be eloquent to face the challenge of today in the 21st century. And then imagine another kind of people, they are the pessimistic, the one who always had the lack of relevance to the world. And then he mentioned that it was just bad timing. You know, when in the 60s, when you open the door, the window of the church, it's like the church was going through a dark tunnel. It's like a train going into a dark tunnel, and that tunnel had toxic air. So when you open the window at that time, it's dark and it's toxic. So it's not good for you. So because in the 60s, you know, the Western culture was throwing away religion, throwing away Christ. And he mentioned the word that it was, in the Western culture, it was Christophobic, you know. It's, people basically have that kind of mentality to hate Jesus, to throw away that. So you try to be relevant with the world, you try to open to the world, you lost your identity. And it's what happened in many, many areas in the church life, because the lust to be relevant to the world, people lost their identity. You know, Think about the horror, the number is horrible. You know, communism wasn't able to destroy religious life in the communist country. But in the Western world, in a couple of decades, religious life was, you know, a lot of religious left the religious life. Huge amount. Communism couldn't do that, but in the Western culture, just being materialistic, it was done. You know, and communism couldn't close down churches, or if you're not going to church. In the Western culture, just a few decades, just look at Quebec. You know, Quebec. a few decades ago, it was the most Catholic region in the whole world. And now it's the most pagan. Just in a few decades, if people don't go to church, and in just a few decades, you know, communism couldn't do that. But Western culture does do it like that. You know, communism wasn't able to kill as many people as Western culture killed by abortion. You know, abortion, people killed by abortion more than Nazi German communism, you know, civil war combined. You know, so you just think about what being accomplished by the devil using Western culture, the being really secular and materialistic, they did much more harm than communism. You can see the situation. Now a really interesting thing to remind. I hope I'm wrong. Actually, I hope I'm right, but I also hope that I'm wrong. In a way, I think you might have heard about the St. Michael prayer, right? Yes. St. Michael the Archangel. I think you know the story, right? Mm. In the year 1884, October 13th, Pope Leo the 13th, after saying Mark, he just fell down. And people thought that he was dead. But actually, he had a vision. He saw Christ on the throne, and Satan there challenged Jesus, say, "I will destroy your church." You know, and then Jesus said, "Go ahead." And then the devil said, "If you give me more time, if you give more power to the people who serve me." And then Jesus said, "How much time do you need?" And the devil said, 75 to 100 years. And Jesus said, "You have the time, you have the power, go." So basically, I think it's a bit symbolic because, you know, sometimes God allows death in heaven usually is to punish people's sin. But basically, it's about 100 years is given to the devil. So Leo the 13th composed the prayer is to fight against the devil because he knew there would be 100 years given to the devil. Now, some people say that 100 years was from 1884 to 1984. Okay? But some said it was the 20th century, the whole century given to Satan have a lot of power. But I have a different thought, actually. I think that the year was actually 1914 to 2014. That's my thinking. Because think about the world was in an uninterrupted peace from the later 19th century up until 1914. It was pretty peaceful. And then in 1914, in July, there was the big crisis, you know, the July crisis, and then led to July 28th, the First World War. And because in the First World War, in a few years, a couple dozen of Catholic monarchs had been overthrown. You know, in the past, the political system was the monarch, the queen, the king. But they overthrown that, you know, that means people no longer look up to authority. You know, that's a big thing in the 20th century. We no longer look up to authority. And also, you know, by doing so, it also eventually, you know, what led to is 78% of the people live under official atheist government. Because after that, you got after the World War One, you got the Great Depression, economic, and then you have World War II, which much more terrible than World War One, and after that you got communism, and then after that, and when communism is almost collapsed, and then suddenly the West becomes so secular, and the achievement even worse than communism, and then now, you know, quite often, you know, my medical scare is that usually when doing exorcism, quite often before the devil left, they do something nasty. So you know, if it's 100 years, if next year is the end of the 100 years, you know, see what happened in the world today. Is he going to do something nasty before he finish? You know, this coming year, you know. So the situation in Syria, things like that, do concern me a bit. I hope I'm wrong, you know, that it's not something big going to come up. But I do have a bit of a concern that, you know, it might be his final souvenir before he's gone back to hell, you know. So that's a bit of a scary thought, but I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not, I don't know. It just a thought came to my mind that, you know, it seems like the 100 years is actually from 1914 to 2014, more likely, I think.
So after 2014,
now that's my two cents, okay? That's my two cents. So that's what I think. I hope I'm right on the one hand, because 2014 in July, but then after that, hopefully things will be better. But oh, I hope I'm wrong, because usually when the devil, before he goes, he wanted something nasty. Really, he gets some souvenir before he goes. And then when you do exorcism, people, something at the end, the soul smells so bad, you know, he needs some souvenir before he goes. He's so nasty. So it's just my two cents, you know. It just came to my mind that it might be the reality, but I'm no prophet. I just read what I have available, but that's my two cents of what I see. But you know, if that's the case, you know, we see that, you know, in that 100 years, Our Lady Fatima is really guiding through, because, you know, in 1917, Our Lady appeared to the three children, and then giving the solution how to fight against the evil, and so that's why that makes that operation of Fatima even more relevant, you know, to of that. Anyhow, that's only it's only my private interpretation. No official bearing whatsoever.
Father, the statue of the Blessed Virgin crashing the serpent.